Oh, yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
Better believe it. It would take big nuts for someone to do what I asked on Twitter yesterday. As Mac Morey and fantasy football continues this year in 2026, starting this Sunday.
Yeah.
So I know your drafts are coming up. Remember, you can take all of your drafts to Maloney's, The Landing, and The Sand Trap. And any special they offer those days, you can take advantage of with your fantasy drafts up there. Well done, text from the 402. The Royals coming back to beat the A's will never get old. No, it won't. As John Rave last night was the hero. Thought that was great. They intentionally walked Bobby Witt Jr. to load the bases. The right move, right? Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr., John Rave. Well, I'll take my chances. Double down the line, bases clearing double. Bobby goes from first to home, and by the time the ball got into the glove of the right fielder, Bobby was already rounding third. Freak. But somebody that might be a freak and is looking more and more the part is, again, Cyrus Allen. His continued conversation of this young man out of Cincinnati, the fifth-round pick, or the Jaden Daniels-round pick of the Chiefs this year. Just an insane catch yesterday. Mansoor Delane ran a 4.38, by the way. For those of you that are keeping track of 40-yard times, Cyrus Allen yesterday with that catch. I'm driving home. Almost sitting to Alex and Cody up in St. Joe for their last show, Tier. And Alex talks about it. He's like, Cyrus Allen just made this catch. It's probably going to go viral. It's really a nasty catch. And I'm like, I wonder what he did. You know, I'm hearing from the radio. They're doing a good job of describing it. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's going against Mansoor Delane. Got on the outside. One-handed snag. Brings it in. I'm like, all right. As soon as I get home, I go find it. It's everywhere. And this is like, what, part three of what if about Cyrus Allen?
I don't know. Part 27, maybe. Yeah.
But again, like, let's have a serious conversation of what we only have to go off of. Mm-hmm. That was the sixth overall pick in the draft. That is the Chiefs' dude. That was Mansoor Delane, right? Like, that, I get it. Maybe he's not in full speed yet because he hasn't been practicing the whole time. But again, like, that's the sixth overall pick against a guy who went in the 180s.
Yeah, I don't really care about that. It was a perfectly thrown ball, man. Like, sure. Who threw it? Was that Mahomes that threw the ball? Because I don't know who threw that ball.
It was Pat.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You couldn't have placed the ball any better. And the tracking that Cyrus Allen had on that ball the entire time, looking up. And Delane was right there. I mean, that was a perfectly thrown pass. You could have had Deion Sanders covering that guy. I mean, I think that catch was great. But my God, I don't think we're talking enough about the ball placement of Patrick Mahomes on that play.
But the question now is, because I know, you know, doing this job Monday through Friday, you've got two sides of a text line or two sides of Chiefs fans that are, one, let's pump the brakes. And the others are, I get to a point to where, like, there's enough proof in the pudding, right, to take a cliche statement. And I don't know if that was the one. Right? Like, we saw the catch in the preseason game. You're like, oh, he jumped up and caught it. That's an athlete play. Okay, cool. That's fine. Your standards are much higher than mine. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good play when you dive into all the different aspects that were that play. And then yesterday happens. That was a really, really good play, obviously, for Mahomes and Cyrus Allen, because we went back to yesterday where Cyrus Allen's going to have to do things where Mahomes may not be in the game, but he's going to have his eyes to have the test to be like, okay, I can trust that. I know I can get that ball there. That is your number one corner that is going to go against number one wide receivers, the Jamar Chases, the Justin Jeffersons, the JSNs. That's what he's going to do. That's not what Trent McDuffie necessarily was. I feel like that's correct. And Mansoor Delane, he did get beat. And corners are going to get beat in this league because there's just freak athletes today in the world of sports. But that was one of those things where I'm like, is that the highlight catch that people start to think, like, okay, maybe these guys that, you know, talk about the Chiefs in training camp where it doesn't matter, like, maybe they're starting to make a little bit more sense because that was an NFL play.
It was.
And we haven't yet to see that. Now, again, that's friendly fire. Maybe you know Mansoor's moves. Maybe you have a little bit of an uptick in, like, where you need to be. But he beat him to the outside. He caught it. He tracked it. And I'm wondering if, like, is week four the answer? Because that's been Mac's take, and I think it's a great take. if he's doing stuff that continues to make us go ooh and ah, and we get to week four and he's having these type of numbers and you go into the bye and you're like, all right, now I'm all in. And I think that's totally fair. But like, let's say like Monday Night Football, he mosses Pat Surtain Jr. Then what?
Yeah, I think right now, though, I look at that play. I don't think Delane got beat at all. I think it was just a perfectly executed play by Cyrus Allen and Patrick Mahomes. I would look at Delane and go, that's where I want you every single time. That ball came right down, right into his, like, it is such a spectacular throw. It is such a spectacular job by Cyrus Allen to track that. And the lane is right there the whole time. Like, everything was perfect on that play. And sometimes, hey, sometimes you just tip your cap and go, damn, that was unbelievable. Like, I am still more impressed by the throw that Patrick Mahomes had. And the, like, I don't know that I've ever seen perfect ball placement like that in my life. I mean, it was just right there in stride, just looking up right there. And I mean, it was.
Yeah, he tracked it for like 20 yards in the air. It was awesome.
I mean,
yeah,
it was a perfect throw. I've never, like, you couldn't have gotten closer if you were Delane, who's wearing oven mitts as well.
He definitely got beat.
Yeah, he got beat.
He got beat.
I disagree.
I watched that again, brother. He's two strides behind him.
He's wearing oven mitts as well on that play. So he doesn't have the ability to use his hands.
Which is good. He needs to work on that.
I think every defensive back should wear oven mitts in preseason. I'm not kidding. I saw that yesterday and I'm like,
I like that.
I love that idea. That's why Dave Merritt's one of the better defensive back coaches out there, maybe the best of all time. But I mean, you're holding back your guy, first of all, because you got these stupid oven mitts on his hands. But man, I mean, like, everything had to be perfect on that play. If that ball was thrown just a little bit differently, it probably isn't a complete pass. I just think by saying Delane got beat on that play, we're taking away from what Patrick Mahomes did in that perfect ball placement and coming off the knee injury and all the negative stuff and all the, oh, he doesn't have the deep ball anymore. He hasn't had the deep ball since Tyreek Hill. Hasn't had the deep ball. He showed everybody yesterday he's still got the ability to place that deep ball. That's the pass that should have everybody pooping their pants around the NFL going, holy crap, on one leg he dropped a dime to that guy. We thought that play was out of the Chiefs playbook. It's back.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're underselling Delane more than you're underselling Mahomes. I mean, the release off the line of scrimmage, he was beat right off the rip. And yeah, Monster Delane had some good catch-up speed. But yeah, I mean, no, that was a fantastic release from Cyrus Allen, which is what we're seeing from him, the quickness to be able to beat a corner.
Let me ask you a question. Does Xavier Worthy make that catch?
I mean, I think we're a little too down on Xavier Worthy. I think Xavier Worthy can make that catch.
Yeah, if he's running that play and he gets open like that and that ball is thrown and, you know.
But does he get open like that off the line of scrimmage? That's the real question.
Well, how many people can do that in the NFL right now? I mean, watching him off the line
Chiefs,
of scrimmage.
Zero.
No, but in the league, I mean, I'm watching him off the line of scrimmage. And it, I mean,
when
you watch a tape and something just stands out like that, it's better than what you're watching. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, you're watching that guy off the line of scrimmage. And okay, that's speed. That is legit speed. Like, I'm over the talk of Tyreek Hill. That guy, we don't need that guy. We have Cyrus Allen now. And we've got Xavier Worthy now. Like, Tyreek Hill. Sorry, pal. We got younger versions of potentially what Tyreek Hill could be. At least maybe one in Cyrus Allen. And I'd rather see him get time than Tyreek.
And we've got Ben Maller coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Emma Johnson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, you're in the belly of the beast, my man. Like, the major story in sports, baseball may get turned on side of its head. The NBA may get turned on the side of its head because you got an owner out there in LA who can't pay his bills. My God, sports is about to change, Ben.
Yeah, hey, I'm in it, man. I'm like, I feel like I'm working at CNBC. Like, I'm not that savvy with finances, but apparently neither is the guy that owns the Dodgers. This is unbelievable what's been going on, and it's just next. Every day I wake up and there's something that's absolutely bananas about this guy, Mark Walter, and the group that owns the Dodgers. And like, he woke up one morning and realized, wait a minute, the walls are caving in here. This is not going the way it was supposed to go. And it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see how this plays out. He is going to need the ultimate guardian angel, Mark Walter, with unbelievable amounts of money to dig himself out of this, because the people that want the money, the federal government, they generally do, they're not very kind to you if you don't pay them your tax money. And he has not been paying the proper amount of taxes on these businesses for, in layman's terms, for like it's several years he was getting away with this. And so he's trying to sell everything and keep the Dodgers, from what I understand. That's like the team he wants to keep. He sold the Lakers. He's in the process of selling the soccer team he owns part of. There's some racing stuff that he owns. Like, everything has to go except the Dodgers. And then you wonder, guys, if he's able to pull this off, Mark Walter, and keep the Dodgers, what's left? Like, is he going to be able to spend the money that he's been spending? And then are the Dodgers going to have to go back and be just a middling team again? So it's fascinating.
Well, how's it going to affect baseball? I mean, we're facing a work stoppage, a labor situation in baseball, and the team that everybody wants to bring down, the Dodgers, they're at the center of all of this. So how do you think this impacts all of baseball going forward?
Well, it's a big mess because it's going to change. The Dodgers have all this deferred money for like the rest of my life. They'll be paying these people millions of dollars in deferred money. And so everything, I guess, has been, as you've read and heard the same stuff, just try to stop the Dodgers. Like, the whole work stoppage is really, we got to stop the Dodgers. Well, what if the Dodgers stop themselves? What if, well, actually, the federal government, the SEC, not the Southeastern Conference, they stop the Dodgers? Well, then you don't have to stop the Dodgers. So then what do? You know, if the Dodgers are stopped by the feds, then what's the next issue here? So it is going to be, obviously, something to keep an eye on going forward here. And, you know, the Dodgers are like, well, publicly, everything's fine here. And privately, they're like, oh, boy, you know, we've got major. To think you bought the Lakers, this storied franchise, like this great treasure of basketball, and you sold it within a year. In a year, like, you woke up one morning and it's like that day Bernie Madoff got, I saw the Bernie Madoff documentaries, and that he realized, wait a minute, this is all falling apart, the roof's caving in. You're like, we can't get out of this. And, you know, we're not quite there yet with Mark Walter, because, you know, we don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes, but from what has been said, like, it's pretty deep. Like, it's getting down to the core of the earth. So it's wild to think they were able to pull this off. And a lot of people here in L.A. have been talking about this guy named Bruce McNall, which younger people have probably no idea who he is. This guy owned the L.A. Kings. He brought Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player ever, to L.A., and it was all based on fraud. Most of it was fraud, and he went to jail. And I remember when I started, I was a young lad in radio, and a lot of this, he was very tight with the celebrities in L.A. He was at, you know, rich people jail, which is not real jail. It's, you know, or prison, rich people prison. He was at this place in Santa Barbara, and it was such a light, low security prison. They used to play softball on the weekends, and you'd see all these celebrities drive up to Santa Barbara from L.A. to watch Bruce McNall play in a softball game. That's how crazy that story was. And you wonder if Mark Walter's, you know, going to end up in there. At this point, though, it's pretty much sell everything as long as you don't go to jail, right? Just keep me out of jail, I'll sell everything.
Yeah, in fact, that guy that was the owner of the Kings, he was cooking spaghetti and meatballs with Ray Liotta, cutting garlic at the same time. No, I kid. Yeah. So I do find this interesting because I think this L.A. story is fascinating. And Ben, maybe I'm wrong here. I love analogies. It kind of seems like your couple's friend or friends that are married, and everyone thinks they're just happily moving along, and every time they show up to the party, there's smiles, and they bring the snack. But, man, really, that marriage is doomed. And the real people know about it, and I feel like that's where the Dodgers are headed.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way today. We'll see if something changes here and if somebody steps in. Maybe the Saudi wealth fund will bail out Mark Walter or something. I started to think, you know, seriously, I was coming to the radio station the other day and I was like, who's possibly rich enough to bail out Mark? We're talking about billions of dollars, and there's only a Magic few Johnson. Groups that would be even willing to do that. One of them would be the Saudi wealth fund, who, you know, they got endless amounts of money and all that. But yeah, the Dodgers from the outside, everything looked great. And there were people concerned. I'm sure you guys heard the same thing. This is never going to end. The Dodgers are going to win every World Series for the next 20 years, and they're going to be the greatest team. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, well, not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso said back in the day, because now you got this mess and the Jeannie Buss family drama, which we haven't even really touched on yet. That's going on behind the scenes. It is that HBO show Succession. It's living out in real life in pro sports, and it all happened the same exact week, and everything's related because everyone's in bed with each other, all these rich people. What a world. What a world.
What a world, Ben Maller. It's going to be awesome to see this thing play out, and I'm sure we'll have conversations as the weeks move on about this crazy stuff that's happening out there in L.A. But, I mean, here we are now, week two of three of preseason football. We're entering that tonight. Have you changed your perception on any teams based on anything that you're seeing in preseason so far?
Well, I read online that the Rams now have their next franchise quarterback because of the game against the Chiefs. But, no, I have not made any firm decisions on anything. I have watched more than I always say I'm not going to watch these games, and then I end up getting suckered in and watching a bunch of these and flipping around and whatnot. But if you want to make knee-jerk reactions, Tua Tagovailoa will be back in Hawaii surfing by week six. He will not be the quarterback in Atlanta. We've made that decision. Shedeur Sanders will dedicate his life to TikTok fully after that interception he threw against the Bears for the Browns. So that will happen. The Seattle Seahawks secondary is so bad, they considered signing a guy who was about to go to prison for life, conceivably. So they're going to suck.
Mark Walters?
I love all these knee-jerk reactions. Why not? They're great.
Can I ask you this? Because I know that I'm starting to see a little bit more in the tabloids via X. Is LA getting tired of the Aaron Donald stuff? Like, all right, man, come on. Are you going to do it or not? I'm tired of the tease.
No, I don't get that sense. It's like background noise. And I think the consensus has been he definitely didn't want to go to training camp. And he wants to play. However, he's not sure if he wants to play the whole season. It's pretty much been in a holding pattern. You know, like when you're waiting for you're on the plane, you're waiting for the gate to open up, you know, it's like, well, the gate won't open up. And it's, well, why is the gate not opening up? Because he won't make the official decision. So, but people are just focused on all this other stuff. Like with the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Clipper thing is crazy too, with their owner being apparently allowed, if you believe that report, to pay off the players under the table and stuff. So yeah, it's like, they're not really concerned. I think once the season begins, I'll tell you, Dusty, if the Rams, they're playing in Australia to begin the year, if they go out there and drop a nothing burger against the 49ers and their defense sucks for some reason, they'd be like, why is Aaron Donald not there? Oh, my God. You know, we need Aaron Donald. So like, it's one of those things. But right now, it's like, you're paying attention, but you're not too worried about it.
I mean, this has to be the greatest time of your life in L.A. sports. Am I wrong about that? I mean, this is all sports, but it's not sports because it's like people going to – like, this is a giant documentary just way – like, when I'm your age, and don't feel offended by that because that's only like 10 more years, when I'm your age, I can't wait to have a bowl of chips, socks on, robe, watching. What if I told you L.A. went from winning 5 championships to spending 15 years behind the bars? Netflix.
No, hey, I agree. I love, you know, I'm pretty easy, though, Dusty. I don't care whether the scandals are in my backyard or they're far away. I enjoy a good scandal.
You thought OJ was good.
Yeah, OJ. Well, I lived through that. I was the OJ one. There have been a lot of, in terms of scandal, I would think LA is like near the top for scandal.
Oh, it's by far near the top. Yeah. I mean, it's better than New York could ever be when it comes to the scandal with all the celebrities and everybody living out there.
Well, it is good. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I can appreciate a scandal pretty much anywhere, whether it's, you know, the Mets were tied in with Bernie Madoff. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why they're still paying Bobby Bonilla, because they thought that was a good deal. Madoff just couldn't pay him.
Yeah, I remember when the Astros played in Enron Field, and
that's right.
That didn't go so well for them. But, you know, all these things are just, to me, they're fascinating. And it's, it's cool. It's all right here, centralized. The Clipper thing is next level. Because I had heard, I don't know if I told you guys, I've said it on my show, I had heard from people I know around the NBA, like, they don't want to punish the Clippers because it's kind of standard that there's the top 1 or 2% of guys get a little extra under the table. So if they punished the Clippers really hard, they'd have to punish the other teams. And that's what I'd heard. Sometimes you hear things, you're like, oh, that's not true. You know, they'll punish them. And then that ESPN, who's in bed with the NBA report, came out. You're like, whoa. No, right. Like the NBA ruled a couple years ago you're allowed to do that. Like, that's crazy.
Do you think there's a sports fan out there that just now still thinks all this stuff is real?
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I don't think they listen to sports radio, though. I'd like to think they don't, but maybe there's some person, some sweet spirit somewhere in the back there that's just got blinders on and earplugs in and just thinks everything's on the up and up. Well, there's, listen, when college sports, listen, the NIL stuff, remember people, how many people complained, oh, the purity of college sports. John Wooden was paying people off in the 60s at UCLA, and that's how they built that dynasty in Westwood, and people still thought when they started NIL, oh, it's going to ruin college sports. The guy's been paid for my entire life and before I was alive. What are you talking about? Come on.
It's funny. I saw somebody over the weekend, and that was tied into some high-level college athletics, and I mentioned the name. I go, that guy would be fine today, and the reaction of just laughing and all this stuff is like, it's true. All this stuff that people got busted for is now kosher today.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, listen, most of the country, people for years went to jail for marijuana. Now, you can go down the street most places, and there's a shop that sells it. But back in the day, you know, things change and evolve, but it is.
And Shoeless Joe Jackson got kicked out of baseball, and then on the Field of Dreams wall, they have MGM. MGM, so.
Oh, I know. It's just, you can go on and on. It's an endless merry-go-round that doesn't stop, and I kind of like it, though. I'm enjoying it.
It
is a good time.
Ben, who's winning the Super Bowl?
I want to know who wins the Pro Bowl. That's what I want to know.
Who's winning the Pro Bowl? Ben, enjoy week two of the preseason, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
It's One Word time, brought to you by Maloney's, the Sand Trap, and the Landing. There are three great local spots that have delicious food, cold drinks, and TVs everywhere to watch your favorite sports teams. From the Royals to preseason to the Advent Health Championship that starts today at Blue Hills Country Club. By the way, in case you didn't know, Blue Hills Country Club, Sand Trap, 2 minutes apart.
Yeah, right there.
So you get to the tournament, you've had a day, America, and you're hungry. Why don't you cruise on down to the Sand Trap and get yourself some lovely dishes to eat out there. But today, if you go to the Landing, $8 cheeseburger and fries, happy hour from 3 to 7, live music on the outdoor patio from 7 to 10. And fellas, I don't know if you looked at the 10-day forecast, pretty good. Low 80s?
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Hell yes.
So, let's go. Also, don't forget, if you have a fantasy football draft, make sure you go to those three locations. They will serve you, yep, and those specials will be valid during those times that they are available. Obviously, if you went today and did your fantasy football draft at the Landing, $8 cheeseburgers and fries. And don't forget, the Blue Hills Country Club is hosting the Advent Health Championship for the Corn Ferry Tour. I'll be out there Sunday with our guy Wags. And then I'm going to cruise over to the Sand Trap and get me a little pizza.
Nice.
As you should, too.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys one word to start, okay? Do you guys get push notifications?
For a few things, right?
So I guess I don't. It just bothers my mind, right, to get notifications on the phone. So I turned it off, but somebody put up there, if it's true, it's great. If it's not, ESPN apparently sent out a push notification at 10 o'clock last night.
Mm-hmm.
New Oklahoma State football coach Eric Morris shoots and kills an armadillo in his yard.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that necessary to send out ever, let alone at 10 o'clock at night?
Is it necessary for me to drink my own urine? No, but it's sterile and I like the taste.
Ugh. I mean,
erroneous now, is what I would say.
If Eric Morris shoots and killed, you know, like, oh my God, was he being robbed or something, right? Like, if there was something, an armadillo?
How did he penetrate that armadillo shell? We'll never know.
We never know. Like, what if a lion showed up to his door and he shot a lion or something like that? I'd be
very upset.
What would you do if a lion showed up to your door?
Stop. Go inside.
call Robin Williams or roll a 5 or an 8 in Jumanji.
Call Maloney.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's rapid fire these boys. Head coach Andy Reid said this when he was asked about retirement. Quote, I know I'm on the downhill of it, so I enjoy it. One word.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly right. You got to look at it that way. He's got, 2 years left on his contract right now. Nobody's pushing Andy out the door. But, father time.
Reality.
Chiefs assistant GM Chris Shea, this was him yesterday talking about creating cap for regular season.
We feel good about where we're at.
Obviously, the rules change a little bit when the season starts. Certain things come onto the cap that aren't there now. You know, we have a plan to create ample space for us to be able to operate with those charges that come on and create some flexibility. You know, we have lots of avenues to create more flexibility and more cap space. We may take advantage of some or all in the next few weeks, but we certainly have the ability and likely will create some cap space to get us into the regular season.
Normal. I mean, you got to have room to maneuver in case somebody goes down with an injury.
Yeah, my one word would be like future.
Mm-hmm.
Never know. Might need a corner, might need a defensive lineman. You don't need Tyreek Hill.
That's like horseradish.
Correct.
How about this Monsieur Delane getting some love from Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson on Twitter. I don't know if Monsieur Delane has a Twitter, but someone please tell him I see him. He's one of them ones that makes your job easier as a coach. One word.
The word that I'm going to use is spectacular, because when you have a guy that played at a high level like Chad Johnson, he's a borderline Hall of Famer, but there's so many wide receivers ahead of him that still need to get in. He's probably not going to get in.
No way.
He definitely is borderline. His numbers were better than I ever thought. But, I mean, he's out there talking about that and seeing Monsieur Delane and saying good things about that. That's a guy who had a pretty good career in the NFL. I love stuff like that. That means more than what we say.
My one word would be respect. Or, you know, game respects game. So respect,
Yeah, absolutely. This is some maybe unmerited respect here coming from Ryan Michael, pro football historian, statistician.
Never heard of
him. Through two seasons, Bo Nix has produced more total offense in wins than any player in NFL history, 5,809, breaking Dan Marino's previous mark of 5,703, one word.
Baseball, that's your analytics right there, trying to put a lipstick on a pig. Right now, anybody who does the first 2 years of a career is trying to find something that somebody is better at than Patrick Mahomes, and they know Mahomes didn't play his first year, so they always go with your first 2 years in the league, and that's why Mahomes never gets that. So that's the only way people can be ahead of Patrick Mahomes in categories.
Micro would be my one word. Micro.
Yeah, I mean, to go back, erroneous. Taylor Witt had a great tweet on that. He said, first two seasons, so goofy, guys, you know, start midseason, all these things. He did 32 career starts, and then you get Kurt Warner and Patrick Mahomes, Dan Marino, Lamar Jackson, and the same stat. Yeah, Bo Nix ends up being 14th when you do it first 32 career starts.
Exactly.
Has nothing to do with analytics. Has nothing to do with analytics.
It absolutely does. They're taking out numbers and telling you that Bo Nix is good when he isn't. That's analytics in a nutshell.
Yeah, we don't got time for that, but it is not. Matt Ishbia borrowed money from J.P. Morgan to complete the $4 billion purchase for the Phoenix Suns. He's the Phoenix Sun owner of the last, you know, 3 or 4 years only. He had to put up $4.6 billion in his company's stock as collateral. The stock is now down 70% since that deal closed.
Yeah, Dodgers. I mean, this is scary, too, because this guy's family's in line to buy the White Sox when Jerry Reinsdorf goes. You know, he's kind of partners in the White Sox now. And so what's happening in sports, man? We got a lot of this BlackRock stuff that's going on with these private equity groups that are investing into sports. That's what's going to kill sports.
Brutal is my one word.
Yeah.
Bay-rutal.
Yeah. Silver.
Yeah.
This is your fault.
No, it's sports. This is what's happening in sports. We're watching it in baseball right now. We're watching it in basketball
right now. This was not going on in basketball until the last few years with the new CBA. Adam Silver has created this.
Well, no, what's created is the amount of money that people are trying to make off of this stuff and the money that they're trying to sell. And guys are getting into this stuff that are overextended and think they're going to be able to pay the bills. And then they get way too deep into it and they don't have the money to pay the bills on this kind of stuff.
16 players now have been granted a fifth year for college football. Multiple of these guys have played preseason games, have been in mini camps. One word.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. Lost. Like, just we're losing the touch.
Yeah. These are the NFL markets that spend the most on merchandise. Kansas City, number one. Buffalo, two. Philadelphia, three. All the way down to 10 being Jacksonville. One word?
I mean, normal. Kansas City loves wearing Kansas City stuff. You never even need to look at an airport where the Kansas City flight is. Just look at all the Hart KC shirts. Just go right there. I mean, I don't know another city that loves itself as much as we do. So, yeah, that's I'm not surprised at all by that. I would have been shocked if we weren't number one.
Is Super Bowl one word?
No.
Okay, well, now it is, because that's why. Because you win three Super Bowls, right? You're going to buy the merchandise. You're buying the booklet. You're buying the football, the shirts, the hats, all that sort of stuff.
But it really all started with the Royals in 14 and 15, when everybody was wearing Royals gear, you know, everywhere you went. And then the heart shirts came out, and everybody's wearing those. Like, really, the Royals kind of started that in 14 and 15 with everybody wearing the gear everywhere. And now it's just exploded.
Because I don't think the heart shirts are part of the merch.
No, but they're Kansas City merch.
Right, for sure. I would say winning would be also the reason why. Like, everybody wants part of that, you know. They want that juice. They want the Super Bowl patch on the jersey and all that sort of stuff.
Juice all over the place.
He comes up in about 20 minutes to defend his case. That is One Word, brought to you by Maloney's, the Sand Trap, and the Landing. There are three great local spots with great food, great drinks, great specials, and TVs everywhere to watch your favorite sports teams. They all three have outdoor patio seating to enjoy the nice spring weather. And don't forget, the Advent Health Championship starts today, goes through Sunday. It is right down the street from the Sand Trap. So if you don't believe that these food items that we mentioned at the Sand Trap are money, go try it for yourself. It's right down the street from the Advent Health Championship at Blue Hills Country Club. And today at the Landing, $8 cheeseburgers and fries, cheeseburger and fry, happy hour from 3 to 7, and live music on the outdoor patio from 7 to 10. Coming up next, it's a sports edition of Smash or Pass, brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, now with two locations, 95th at Nall and 135th at Metcalf, and also Shawnee Mission Ford, on a mission to do more online at Shawnee Mission Ford. We'll do it next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home. Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Noah Williams, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
Smash or Pass time, so you know the deal. You got to be caller number 5 when you hear this drop. That's Bob at the dentist. Not David at the dentist. You hear that. Call number 5. Tell Mac he's awesome. Tell him, hey, Mac, thanks for supporting Sporting KC. And then number 3, you got to tell Mac what his max minute was on yesterday. That's it. And you got a $50. You got a $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu, because they are the proud sponsor of Smash or Pass. Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. Also, Shawnee Mission Ford, on a mission to do more, online at Shawnee Mission Ford, as we get into Smash or Pass. So, before I ask you about Smash or Pass, I want to play you some audio. Because yesterday, we got a treat. It was Fernando Mendoza.
Oh my, it's so good.
I would say that it is tough, however... Everything that is tough, you wouldn't want something to be easy. If it's tough, it's worth it, and that's why it works at the highest level. And it's great because the teammates, we rely on each other. We rely on the receivers to make the right timing, right route. The receivers rely on the quarterback to throw in the correct timing. The linemen rely on the quarterback to get it out on time. The quarterback rely on the linemen to give them that time to throw it. And then the tight end, I mean, there's so many different variables to it, and when we all rely on each other, I believe it makes us closer. And when we become one oiled unit and we have all this synergy and become a dynamic ecosystem where we're evolving together, playing on time, be able to make, and then still make some off-schedule plays, but mostly playing on time, then that's what teams in this system take the next level.
From your perspective.
Yes, from your perspective. So Smash or Pass, Fernando Mendoza over Kirk Cousins for the rest of time.
Well, based on that, for what we do, yes, I would smash Fernando Mendoza to be the starting quarterback in Las Vegas. If I'm Las Vegas, I am not allowing that gentleman to be the starting quarterback of the team. We have Kirk Cousins. He's going to handle business right about now. And I think you commit to Kirk Cousins for the entire year and you just let it go and then do what they did with Patrick Mahomes and bring Fernando Mendoza on. But I was reading an article on the New York Times this morning, and they went back to January when he won the national championship, and they were talking about him and the way he speaks, right? And he goes, oh, it's all done like that on purpose. You know, it's a method to his madness out there. I have no idea what he was talking about or what he said. It was
gotta be tough to win.
But bunch of jumbled words there, but man, he's gonna be fun to listen to. He really is, and we need to play his commentary every week if he speaks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. No, he's fantastic. I'll pass over Kirk Cousins, and that is exactly what Kirk Cousins would say. He would just say it more eloquently and not as sound as naive. Exactly what Tom Brady would say. You can tell they have been talking to each other a lot. he's listening to those guys.
Yeah, but this is nothing different than what he was saying at Indiana. Go back and watch his Indiana stuff. It's all about the team and being together and this rah-rah stuff.
But the synergy, the on time, the not, you know, occasionally off script, but you know, that's Tom Brady. That's Tom Brady.
I think it's just Fernando Mendoza. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if people are falling in love with him or kind of mocking him. I like it. It's actually unique, you know? It's something different. At first, I didn't, and I still don't think, like, that's going to carry NFL players to follow you, but you be you, man. You do you.
Somebody says me when I have 200 words left in a 500-word essay.
Yeah.
Mendoza will play tonight as the Raiders play the Texans on ESPN. Smash or pass the Kyler Murray and Justin Jefferson connection?
I'm going to pass on it. I like the Justin Jefferson part. I'm not a Murray fan, so.
Yeah, smash. Justin Jefferson wanted him there. That's why he is a Viking. Yeah, big-time smash.
Offensive player of the year candidate in Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, could have a huge year.
Be number two in his career. Smash or pass, I tell you right now, do you take it? The Chiefs go 10-7.
No, pass.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll smash that. It's 10 or 11 wins. Yeah, it's right there. So, yeah, I'll smash that.
Smash or pass, Ken Walker plays the entire first quarter versus Tampa Bay.
I'll pass on that one. Okay. I think we see the same type of stuff. Here you go. Here's a handoff. And see you on the bench.
Entire first quarter, pass.
Two drives?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I guess if it's just two drives, yeah. I mean, I think
smash. About it. Four minute drive, that's 8 minutes.
He's playing more than one play. He's going to get a carry. He's going to get
some first drive, probably.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah,
I would hope
everyone does. To see him in a Chiefs jersey and see how he looks.
Yes.
See what it looks like to have a running back knows what they're doing back there for the first time in a decade.
What is that? A running back. That sounds cool.
He actually hit the right hole and got 25 yards. Okay, get off the field. Smash or pass, Cyrus Allen is your wide receiver two by week four.
Oh, I'll pass that. Or not pass, smash that. I mean, yeah. No. I think, yeah. I think if it's by week four, we've waited too long. I don't know, man. Like, you know me, I don't get excited about a lot of training camp bull crap. This is a different one.
Yeah, I'll smash. I think it'll be by week six, but that's just the bye week, week five. So by week six, yeah, I'll smash. I think it's just going to be about the team letting him. It has nothing to do with Cyrus Allen. It's about giving him the reps, giving him the opportunity. This team covets their high draft picks. They take pride in that. So even like a guy like FAU, who has been done well in camp and he's going to play a lot of snaps, they would never even consider trading him or taking an L on that because he was a first-round pick. I think the same has to do with Xavier Worthy. They're going to hold out.
And it's not that Worthy has been bad. Like, just watching the Chad O'Shea commentary during practice where they have him mic'd up and then listening to him after practice, always talking about the teaching side of things. These guys didn't have that, man. It's like taking algebra and, all right, here's the test, but you didn't teach us anything. Yeah, I don't really know the subject matter.
Mm.
Smash or pass PCA over Otani for MVP?
I'm thinking PCA.
Yeah, yeah, smash that.
Smash it. Yeah, it's time. Yeah, I mean, it's this guy is running the league right now. I mean, smash that. Yeah,
did you see the other night, the first pitch he saw, he had a home run. The last pitch he saw was a walk-off home run.
Yeah, it's insane.
I also found this out, random story. He went to high school with Mark Hoppus' son.
Oh, wow.
So he's got a connection with Blink-182.
That's cool.
They're all the celebrity kids growing up out in L.A., probably all running together and going to those same high schools, you know?
And, of course, Mark Hoppus' immature brain named his own son Jack Hoppus. As if he wouldn't have named him anything else. Smash or pass? Little League World Series began yesterday.
Smash was watching a Jersey one on a walk-off there last night. That's Danon's hometown.
Was he the one that hit the bomb to center field?
Yeah, the walk-off home run. Yeah, it was insane.
It was a mash.
And his dad was the coach and greeted him at home plate. And he's like, keep your priorities. like he was trying to talk his kid down, right?
I know you're jacked up right now, but focus.
Focus. No,
dad, I just hit that 350 feet to center.
I mean, and he had a great bat flip, and he looked at the crowd. And all. It was so fun to watch that yesterday.
It's also good material to watch during the day. It's always on like at 11 to like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, this was prime time last night. Yeah, last night was prime time for that. So I know Danon was fired up about it, but I was too. That was cool to see that kid walking off. Focus. His dad was so great.
Yeah, I'll smash it as far as the concept, the kids getting a spotlight, all that stuff. Love the competition. I mean, will I watch? I'll pass on that. Yeah, if it's on, it's on. I'll have it on, but I'm not going to be seeking that out.
Yeah, you don't seek it out, but if it's there, it's there.
I'm like, oh, no, this is fun. This is really cool.
Or if you have some sort of connection, like if your hometown team, like Damon's, was playing in this thing,
yeah,
you're watching.
Then
it.
You watch it. Yeah, absolutely.
Bonus Smasher Pass Friday night. The franchise debuts for the first time. Smasher Pass Friday night.
Smash. I'm excited about it. Apparently, we're featured big in this one, so I'm excited.
Big, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, big time smash.
Okay.
Love the franchise.
Yeah, it's going to be
fun.
They
do a great job.
It gives you that juice, right? Like, if you're already, you know, the dinner table's being set. Like, I always think, like, the franchise is like when your dad or mom would cook tacos and the cheese is shredded. You know dinner's almost there. You know the tacos almost ready. You put your hand in the shredded cheese. You're going to spoil your dinner.
Like Seinfeld always says, I've never spoiled an appetite, and there's always another appetite out there to have.
Caller number 5, you got a chance at a $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. Again, you got to tell Mac he's awesome. You got to say, hey, thanks for wearing that Sporting KC shirt. Then you got to tell Mac, hey, I really loved yesterday's version of blank of Mac's Minute.
Mac's awesome.
And you got a chance at $50 gift card. Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, now with 2 locations, 95th and Nall and 135th at Metcalf. And also, Shawnee Mission Ford, on a mission to do more, online at Shawnee Mission Ford. You want it? We give it to you. Jay Binkley gives his reasoning on Cyrus Allen on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football on 96.5 The Fan.